Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call's special election series. On November 6th, voters in District 15 in the East Bay will choose their next assemblywoman in the state capitol. Buffy Wicks, an organizer and former White House staffer for President Obama, or Jovanka Beckles, a social and environmental justice activist and former Richmond City Council member. As we all know, California is facing so many problems. Rising rents, a homeless crisis, rising health care costs, a lack of funding for public education, unsafe drinking water, and we can go on and on. Today, we will find out how Buffy Wicks and Jovanka Beckles will tackle these issues. District 15 spans from West Contra Costa County to North Alameda County and includes Berkeley, Richmond, El Cerrito, Emeryville, El Sobrante, and parts of Oakland. Jovanka Beckles is a community activist, a children's mental health specialist for Contra Costa County, and a two-term Richmond City Council member. She is running as a Democratic Socialist on the Democratic Party ticket. Jovanka Beckles has received endorsements from key labor unions, including the California Nurses Association, Our Revolution, Democratic Socialists of America, the Harvey Milk LGBTQ Democratic Club, and environmental organizations, including the Sierra Club, San Francisco Bay Chapter, and 350 Bay Area Action. Jovanka Beckles' campaign has raised $349,840, according to the California Secretary of State's website. Her donors include the Berkeley Federation of Teachers and other union groups, and Healthcare for All California. And Jovanka Beckles joins us in studio. Hi, Jovanka. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much.
Did we get all of that right?
Pretty much. Well, I'm a current city council member for the city of Richmond.
Current city. Thank you. Because we did. Yes. There's so much research, and I just want to make sure we have our facts right.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Buffy Wicks, also running as a Democrat, was an organizer for Barack Obama's presidential campaigns and helped lobby for the Affordable Care Act while working as a White House aide. Buffy Wicks then served as executive director of the Priorities USA Action Super PAC, which supported Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. She was the Clinton campaign's California state director, and she's currently a consultant to the nonprofit Common Sense Kid Campaign, an organization that lobbies for children in California. Buffy Wicks has received endorsements from President Barack Obama, California Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, U.S. Senator Kamala Harris, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, United Farm Workers co-founder Dolores Huerta, and organizations including the Planned Parenthood Northern California Action Fund. Buffy Wicks' campaign has raised $1,158,000. According to Berkeleyside, many of her donors come from some families in Washington, including the Fishers, who founded The Gap, and John Sculley, a former CEO of Apple. A major spender in support of Buffy Wicks is the Govern for California PAC, which spent $493,000 supporting Buffy Wicks. And Buffy Wicks joins us in studio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And did we get all of your information right?
Yeah, more or less. I have been endorsed by about 19 labor unions as well, so okay. I want to include that.
Yes, and we couldn't name
everyone. I know,
endorsing both of you. But I just, especially with the money, I just want to make sure that is all correct because it's so important. So before we get started, there's so much to talk about. Before we talk about your platforms, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to run for the assembly in the state capitol? Jovanka Beckles, let's start off with you.
Yes, I have been a Richmond City Council member for the past 8 years, and before that, I was on the Planning Commission for 2 years. Before that, I was on the Economic Development Commission, so I've been in local government and politics for over 10 years now, really proud to have been serving the residents of Richmond. But I'm running now. I'm running for state assembly based on my lived experience. I'm running for state assembly because really we have to. We're living in times that are it is so violent, to say the to put it in mildly, against working people. So I'm running to build a California that works for all of us, that works for the many, not just the few. I'm running based on my lived experience as a mental health specialist for Contra Costa County, where I've seen families become homeless almost, you know, every 3 or 4 months because their rents were being increased steadily and often. I'm running based on my lived experience of seeing families come back, people come back from incarceration not able to get a job. I'm running based on my lived experience of seeing families not able to buy food, not able to buy gas, oftentimes not able to get to work because they have no child care. And we have made, together with the community in Richmond, we came together and we created the kinds of policies that help to bring about more justice and equity for these struggling families that I work with and live with and on a daily basis. So based on those experiences, based on the amazing victories that we've had in Richmond, I'm running for state assembly now because there are state policies that are keeping us as working people first of all divided, but really just struggling. We don't have single payer health care right now. I'm running because we need that at the state level. Right now, students are going in debt. Families are in debt because they can't afford tuition. I'm running based on the fact that we can, in the fifth largest economy in the world, we can have tuition free public colleges. We can have free child care for those struggling families. We can have tuition free preschool. We can have housing for all in California with the largest concentration of billionaires in the whole country. We can have those things that we need. And so I'm running based on that. I'm running for workers. Because I am a champion of working people. I'm a member of Teamsters 856. I've been a union member my entire working life. I have almost 30 endorsements from unions because they know that in these times, these hostile times towards workers, we need a working person to be in that position of power to protect and defend the working class.
That is Richmond City Council Member Jovanka Beckles, who is running for the District 15 Assembly seat. And before we get to Buffy Wicks, I just want to announce that at 11:18, everyone in the country is going to receive a text from Donald Trump. It's a presidential alert that's going to pop up on the screens of anybody with a phone number. So it's going to say this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. You cannot opt out. And I believe that we might get a beep on the radio. We'll find out. But it might not be exactly at 11:18, but we just wanted to let you know so there's nothing to be concerned about. But that is going to happen. And if it breaks into programming, we'll come right back. Buffy Wicks, what about you?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to run and tell us a bit about your background?
Sure. And thank you very much for having me. You know, I'm born and raised here in California. I grew up in a very working class community a couple hours from here. I grew up in a trailer, very working class family. Went to community college, you know. Ended up working my way through progressive politics and ended up at the White House, you know. I've spent my entire career as an organizer. I was an organizer in the anti-war movement in San Francisco in 2003, organizing all the big protests and demonstrations that were happening at the time. You know, I was out there with my bullhorn, you know. Was an organizer for Howard Dean's presidential campaign. Was an organizer in the labor movement. I worked for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, fighting for better health care and better wages for Walmart workers. And Walmart, you know, one of the most profitable companies in the world, treats their employees terribly, shirks their healthcare responsibilities. There's a lot we could go into that, but that wasn't just about Walmart, but I think also about this sort of unchecked corporate power that exists in our society today. You see it now with Amazon and others, right? So I think we have a lot of income inequality that we have to address head on. So I care deeply about that, and so I've got a lot of support from the labor movement. And, you know, I was one of the early hires for President Obama and worked alongside Marshall Gans and others to help develop the president's community organizing model. I was the field director in my home state here and worked for him, went off to the White House when we won, and had a real humbling privilege of working with him on helping to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, working on ACA, working on helping get Justice Sotomayor, the first Latina Supreme Court justice, confirmed, you know, and worked alongside him and did the reelection campaign and moved back home a couple years ago because I was ready to start my family. My husband and I got married. I wanted to move back home. My family's here. This has always been home for me. You know, moved to Oakland and love the community, love the East Bay, started doing parent organizing work with Common Sense Kids Action, which you mentioned earlier. And the mission of that campaign was to really activate parents to fight for more funding for public education. So we worked on the Prop 30 extension, getting more funding into our public schools and the tobacco tax in 2016. And we had parent organizers across the state working on that to really activate parents on these issues. And, you know, basically what happened is after, you know, the election of Donald Trump, I got mad, you know. My daughter was due election day. That's how I spent my election day. She came late, fortunately, but glad she wasn't born that day because it'd be weird karmically. Just looking at both the national elections, what's happening here in California, you know, you look at this resisting Trump, we all want to do that. We're all going to do that. But we also have a lot of stuff to fix here in California that's on us, you know. And the way that we, in my opinion, resist Trump is having better public schools for our kids, mm-hmm. right? We're 43rd in third grade math reading scores. And so fighting for more funding for public education, you know, we have a massive homelessness crisis that is in a state of emergency right now. You know, we need to build more affordable housing, build more housing. We need safe public transportation. You know, we need to ensure that our children have the ability to breathe clean air and drink clean water. You know, there's a lot of things that I care about, but fundamentally it's about creating an equitable social safety net that creates that ladder up, right? So that everyone has the ability to succeed. And for me, I want to bring my relationships and skill sets in terms of working kind of at the highest levels, but also organizing at the most local level, my organizing expertise, to Sacramento to work with folks to pass some of these things that I think that we all care about.
So you brought up so many of the problems.
Yes.
And Jovanka, you brought up the fact that this state regularly receives international headlines for being the fifth largest economy in the world, for being the, quote, state of the resistance, home to some of the wealthiest tech companies in the world. It's a state run by Democrats. Mm-hmm. So many of our big cities are run by Democrats. And yet, we have massive poverty. Vice just had a piece about the increasing number of people living in their cars. Mm-hmm. Santa Barbara just started a safe parking program. Mm-hmm. And they have a waiting list for people to park their cars in a parking lot.
Right.
So given that, how do you assess how we got to this point?
We got to this point because of corporate greed.
Jovanka, by the way.
Yes. We got to this point because we are seeing the billionaire class buying seats in office, buying politicians. And that's why I've always run as a corporate money-free candidate, two-term city council member. That's why I'm running now. But I think that because that language can get a little confusing to people when it comes to the test.
Can we hear it on? Oh, okay. So it's phone alert, so I guess mm-hmm. we're still all right. But again, I just want to remind people so there's no fear out there. This is what they're calling a, quote, presidential alert. Oh, it was very quick. It popped up on screens of cell phones. Nothing is happening. It was a test. You cannot opt out of receiving these alerts. As far as I know, some organizations are suing, saying that this is kind of dangerous because who's going to use it? But that's for another show. But I just want to let you know everything is fine. That just it was a brand new alert called the, quote, presidential alert. Sorry about that, Jovanka.
Yeah, so we are where we are because of greed, because of corporate greed. We are here where we are because of landlord greed, where people can't afford to pay their rent. People can't afford to buy homes. People can't afford to buy food. People are working 40 hours a week and have to live in their cars. And so we're here because of greed. And I, as I started to say earlier, that language of corporate free can get a little confusing, I believe, to some. And so that's why I prefer to call myself a candidate who's running to put people over profit, which means that I am not getting any money from the billionaire class, the same billionaire class who want to destroy our public schools, the same billionaire class and donors who want to destroy our unions, the same billionaires, billionaire class and billionaires who want to commoditize our homes, our health care, our education. And so we are where we are because of really unprecedented amounts of money coming into campaigns and electing public officials. Now, in Richmond, we we showed how it can be done. We were once a company town run by Chevron, who inserted millions of dollars throughout the years to put and elect officials who would look out for their bottom line. And as a result of that, we suffered. The people of Richmond suffered. But what we did is we started running people over profit. We started running candidates who would not take one dime, and not only not take it, but also not benefit from it. And by that, I mean candidates benefit from independent expenditures. And, you know, they get to say, well, I don't know anything about that. But we know that that benefits people when because of Citizens United, right, that's created these opportunities for dark money. We know that people can and do benefit from independent expenditures. And I am not, and neither have my colleagues on the Richmond City Council, benefited from any independent expenditures. Okay, pardon me. You look like...
Sorry, we've got the test now. All right, we are back.
Okay.
Sorry about that again. This is a, quote, presidential alert. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System, and you cannot opt out of this, but there's nothing to be concerned about. Sorry about that again, Jovanka.
Yes. So in Richmond, when we started running truly corporate-free candidates, that message, that value resonated with the people of Richmond. So we went from a city council that was loaded with Chevron candidates, who now 10 years later, after electing these corporate-free candidates, we now have a supermajority on the Richmond City Council. 5 out of 7 council members that took no money, and now we see what happens when we have that in political office.
And we did a show, actually, about that book, Company Town,
yes,
which you're featured in.
Yes.
We'll talk about the money in a minute, because that's very, unfortunately, very, very important right now. But Buffy, Jovanka said that, you know, one of the reasons why we're in this state, in a democratically run state, most of the big cities are run by Democrats, is because of money and influenced by billionaires and corporate greed. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? How did we get here?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, you look at, as you mentioned, California is the 5th largest economy in the world. And when you take into account cost of living, it's the highest poverty rate at around 40%. That's unconscionable to me. That's something we have to fix. I think part of the challenge, too, is if you look at the California budget and how it's financed, it's a pretty volatile budget in terms of it's really relying on personal income. One of the things that I think we absolutely have to fix is Proposition 13. You know, to me, that has created one of the biggest funding structural inequities in our state. And you look, California used to have the best public education system in the country, and that started to decline in 1978. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, doing things like, you know, split roll, which is basically closing the commercial loophole in Prop 13, that's going to be on the ballot in 2020. This is one of the mechanisms that I think that we need to implement to create a more sound funding mechanism so that we can fund things like public schools and fund a lot of the things that we care about, right? But it's also about, you know, making these things priorities. If you look at your budget is your priority. So since the early 80s, we've seen a 500% increase in corrections spending as funding for schools has not kept up, right? And we've built 22 prisons and one new UC campus. So it's also about what are our priorities as a state? What are our priorities as a community? What are the priorities of the leadership in Sacramento to really talk about these things head on? And in my opinion, we need to be investing on the front end in terms of education as opposed to criminal justice or correction spending. And I use that as an example of something that I think is a really important thing that we have got to confront here. And, you know, we've started to, but to me, our budget is how we make these decisions. It's what our priorities are.
Right.
And so those are some of the things I want to fight for. But I think it also comes down to, closing the loophole on Prop 13 and some of these other things, right?
Well, and so can I, again, going back to how we got here, because, again, these are Democrats that are making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these Democrats are supporting you. So how are you planning to go
up
against
them? Well, I mean, if you look at Prop 13, that was in 1978, right?
And right.
Jerry
Brown's budget is pretty conservative. A number of nonprofits say that
he's certainly someone who is known for being very, he's a penny pincher.
Right.
And I don't agree with Jerry Brown on a lot of this stuff, right? Some stuff I agree with him on, some stuff I don't. I do think for me, we unequivocally need more resources for things like public education, right? For things like more affordable housing to address our homelessness crisis. And I do think, you know, if you look at what's going to happen, you know, in the next, you know, couple months, right? Gavin's going to be our governor. I think he cares about a lot of this stuff as well. He's someone who's been on the record supporting single payer, more funding for public schools. You know, he and I are in a line on a lot of these issues. I think that's why he's endorsed my candidacy. He's someone I want to work with if I get the job. But it's also, here's the other big challenge. When you look at Sacramento, you basically have three parties. You got the progressive Democrats, right, the moderate Democrats, and the Republicans.
Right.
And so it's figuring out, how do you stitch together the coalition to address some of these issues?
So obviously, Democratic Socialist, Jovanka, we know where you stand. Mm-hmm. What about you, Buffy?
Oh, I'm a progressive Democrat. I mean, I've spent my entire life working in progressive politics, you know, and I kind of rattled off some of the things that I've done before here in the beginning of the show, but I've spent my whole life working in progressive politics. And I think the exciting opportunity for me about this seat is because it is, this seat is a progressive seat, you know, and it's got such a rich history and culture of organizing and progressive activism. And it's, you know, part of where the Black Panthers came from, the free speech movement. So the exciting thing about this seat is, you know, this deserves a leader who's going to go there and be very progressive, and also deserves someone who can go there and be in a leadership role.
Well, let me ask just quickly, and then we'll get back to the money. Where do you both see yourself fitting within the Democratic Party? Because you're both running as Democrats.
Right.
And Jovanka, we've seen, you know, a number of Democratic Socialists are winning their campaigns.
Right.
But there's pushback from the corporate Democrats.
Absolutely.
So where do you see yourself fitting in that?
Right. I fit in that base. It's a movement. I am a part of a movement to change politics as usual. Right now, when you have a state legislature that's majority Democrats, and yet we don't have the things that we need, we have to ask ourselves why. One of those reasons is always you follow the money. And so we don't have single payer health care right now because the bill was stuck at Anthony Rendon's desk and refused to move it on. And you look at him, he's a Democrat. Why did he stall this bill? Well, you follow the money. And I always encourage people, follow the money, regardless of what people say and how nice it sounds. You follow the money. And with Anthony Rendon, you follow the money and you see, and it all led back to about $400,000 of donations of him benefiting from money from the pharmaceutical companies. And so we are where we are because when you have Democrats that are taking money from the very corporations that we are fighting against as people, we are not going to get the things that we need. And so in this movement to reform the way that government is run, from looking at profit and putting profit above the needs of people and above the needs of the planet, when we together come together in solidarity and change that, we can then have a government that actually works for the people and puts people over the profit of those corporations. And so you follow the money, you always see whether or not how that person's going to vote. And really, people's voting record also is very telling of how they're going to continue to vote and whether or not that you know, those individuals even have a voting record to begin with.
And Jovanka, according again to the California Secretary of State's website, your campaign has raised just over $349,000. And I didn't see corporations on your lists. Are you not taking any money from corporations?
I'm not taking any money from corporations. I'm not benefiting from their independent expenditures because I will be beholden only to the people of California, just as I have been beholden only to the people of Richmond. Richmond now has the resources that we need, because the only way to know that a candidate is going to actually stand up to those very corporations that are keeping us poor and struggling and without health care and dying is whether or not that candidate is and to know how they're going to vote. Where did that candidate's money come from?
And as you both know, people get so angry about this, right? Because there's so much money flooding our system.
Right.
Buffy, according to the website, California Secretary of State, you have raised $1,158,000. And you've got like families like the Fishers, who founded The Gap, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple, Silicon Valley venture capitalist Ron Conway.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people who are concerned about those people who are funding your campaign?
Sure. So, you know, I have, I think, about over 1,500 contributions. Many of those are folks that I've worked with over the years. My largest network of donors is the Obama Alumni Network, who have invested in my campaign. They're very excited about seeing one of their own get into this position. You know, I've also have received money from folks who are wealthy, like George Soros. You know, and the max out contribution for a campaign of this size is $4,400. So George Soros has maxed out to me, as well as, you know, Tom Steyer. So there are wealthier billionaires, right? When we're talking about those folks, those are the types of people who have donated to my campaign. Now, I don't agree with every policy position of every donor that has given to me. I'm sure my opponent doesn't either. She's also received money from folks who have donated to Republicans. And so we don't agree with every donation that comes into, or in terms of the political philosophy of every donation that has come into, at least I don't, right? I'm assuming my opponent doesn't either. But in the end of the day, right, you know, we're all trying to raise the money we can to communicate, to hire organizers, to be out there in the field and talk to folks. And I'm very proud of the breadth and depth that I've received in terms of the fact that I have over 1,500 donations on my campaign. What I will say, we absolutely need campaign finance in this country. You know, you've mentioned that there's an independent expenditure that supported me in the primary. My opponent also has an independent expenditure supporting hers. Well, neither of us like that, I'm sure. You know, you don't like these outside groups who then go out and they can say whatever they want. You know, and to me, that is corrosive. It's the same challenge that, you know, Tony Thurman had this in his 2014 race when the oil and gas industry, you know, supported him in large numbers. We've seen it across the board in campaigns up and down the state, across the country. And we have got to figure out how to address this. It's also why I have chosen to take no corporate money in my race. You won't find any corporate contributions, any money from any corporations in my filings. And to be honest with you, I think Jovanka and I are two of very few candidates across the state of California who've made that decision. But that was an important one for me as well. So
I hear what you say about not agreeing with the people who are funding your campaign. But what would you say to, you know, voters who are so... they oppose like an anti-tax, anti-regulation guy like Ron Conway, or they oppose, well, you know, companies that do not support a $15 minimum wage.
So a couple things. You know, Ron Conway is someone who basically was the key funder to create Gabby Giffords and Mark Kelly's gun violence prevention organization. He was one of the first check writers to get that off the ground when they decided to start that organization. Mark and Gabby are supporting me. He's done a lot. He's put a lot of work into gun violence prevention. That is a big issue for me. I've been endorsed by them. I've been endorsed by the Brady campaign. I've been I'm a candidate of distinction among Moms Demand Action. So there are things that I agreed a lot with on Ron Conway, you know, on the gun issue, and he's put his money where his mouth is. And to me, that's great that he's giving that kind of resource to an organization like that, right?
So, but what about the fact that, like, they do not want taxes? They do not want regulations for tech companies, for example, which is a huge issue in our area.
Well, I don't think that 19 labor unions would have endorsed me if I'm the anti-regulation, anti-tax candidate. They wouldn't have come on board with me. But they have, because they know that I'm committed to collective bargaining. I'm committed to creating an equitable social safety net. And I think that that stuff is important.
Jovanka?
The majority of labor unions that have endorsed the opposition are building trades, and unfortunately, for them, it's been interesting. Every single city council race in Richmond, the building trades have endorsed the Chevron candidates in every single election. And so, unfortunately, they've not joined in solidarity with the almost 30 other unions that have endorsed this campaign, because they understand the need to be in solidarity to fight against this billionaire takeover of our government. Billionaires and corporations don't invest in candidates without an expectation of a good return on their investment. They're not going to invest in a candidate that they know is not going to give them that fair return. And so the IEs that I think that I saw one currently, because I did not have any in the primary, is coming from working people, from unions. And unions are not the problem. The billionaire class, the corporations that want to destroy working people and unions, they are the ones that's the problem in this election. And that's why Richmond, we were able to turn it around, because people recognize the connection between the money that candidates get where it comes from and how much and what kinds of resources we have as working people in our city. And we've managed to turn Richmond around because the people of Richmond recognize that connection. And it's a bad connection when you have, when you have elected officials who are taking lots of money to increase the bottom line of those corporations, which is why they invest in them.
Can I just respond to that? I would never disparage the building trades labor unions. You know, I think these are workers who are out there every single day. You know, they are doing some of the toughest jobs in our state, and I think that the work that they do is important. I'm very proud to have the building trades labor unions support me. But in addition to that, the United Food and Commercial Workers unions, the firefighters, you know, these are unions that I think are a critical component to our economy. These are workers that I support, that I want to fight for, and that I want to work with, and I'm very proud to have their support.
And that's wonderful. And again, I've lived in the Bay Area for 30 years. I've worked in the Bay Area for 30 years, and I am in elected office. And as much as I respect these workers, I'm a worker myself, unfortunately, the reality is the Firefighters Union and the Building Trades Union, they have always supported the Chevron candidates in every single city council election. So that's unfortunate, but we do have this a movement, as I said before, of working people who recognize the need for us to stand in solidarity against the billionaire class that continues to try to continue to oppress us, continue to make us poorer and poorer. And that is unfortunate. And believe me, it does not give me pleasure to state this fact, but it is a fact. And those of us in the Bay Area who've been here watching politics, being a part of it, understand that awful dynamic.
This is Your Call Special Election Series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are having a debate with Buffy Wicks and Jovanka Beckles, who are running for the District 15 Assembly seat. This seat runs from West Contra Costa County to North Alameda County. It includes Berkeley, Richmond, El Cerrito, Emeryville, El Sobrante, and parts of Oakland. And if you have any questions for Jovanka Beckles or Buffy Wicks, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Jovanka Beckles is a community activist, a children's mental health specialist for Contra Costa County, and a Richmond City Council member. She has endorsements from the California Nurses Association, the Democratic Socialists of America, the Harvey Milk LGBTQ Democratic Club, Sierra Club San Francisco Bay Chapter. So far, her campaign has raised $349,840. Buffy Wicks was an organizer for Barack Obama's presidential campaign and helped lobby for the Affordable Care Act while working as a White House aide. She then served as executive director of the Priorities USA Action PAC, which supported Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. She has endorsements from Barack Obama, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, Senator Kamala Harris, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, California Chapter, and Planned Parenthood Northern California Action Fund. Buffy Wicks has raised $1,158,000. You can find more about them at yourcallradio.org. And let's go to a number. We've got a number of callers on the line. Let's hear from Ruthann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruthann. Welcome to the show.
Morning. I wanted to applaud both candidates in the vein of that I live in El Cerrito, so I'm next door to Richmond, and I was really, really proud when the city council in Richmond threw out Chevron and came up with their staff of candidates that are, you know, anti-corporate, anti-big industry. And I also wanted to commend Jovanka Beckles Buffy Wicks, because I'm assuming Jovanka Beckles agrees, but I definitely agree that Prop 13 is at the root of a ton of the California budget problems. But my question is, after I investigated both candidates and completely have a yard sign outside of my house favoring Jovanka Beckles, and I'm wondering, and I know you can't, Buffy Wicks, I know you can't speak for somebody else, but some of your campaign organizers came by and left literature at my house, and I'm wondering if they saw the yard sign for Jovanka Beckles, why didn't they just say, oh, let's go to the next house and try to speak to somebody there who's undecided?
I don't know the answer to that. We know we've had hundreds of volunteers across the district. You know, we knocked on 35,000 doors in the primary. We knocked on 5,000 doors this past weekend alone. And so we're out there talking to folks across the district. But so I can't speak for every volunteer on my campaign. But, you know, we're very – I just had my 201st house party recently. So a lot of the organizing work I've done in other campaigns, I'm applying to this campaign as well. We're out there pounding the pavement and looking to talk to voters.
Thank you, Ruthann. Let's go next to Ellen in Berkeley. Hi, Ellen.
Hey, my name is Owen. I'm a I'm a community college graduate, and I was just wondering, I've also been involved in housing activism throughout the Bay, and I was just wondering, what do the candidates think the root cause of the housing crisis is here in the Bay Area?
Great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jovanka.
The root cause of homelessness is something that I'm advocating for us to not only talk about, but to create policies around them. And the root causes of homelessness is below living wages, people not having living wage, people having mental health disabilities, people having substance abuse issues. The root causes of homelessness is insufficient resources to address these causes of homelessness. In Richmond, that's why we raised the minimum wage. We have raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour in Richmond to really help so many families who are struggling to pay their rents. And I realize that $15 an hour is not a living wage. It's still, but it's still leading the way in so many ways. I'm a mental health specialist. I've seen that people can't get the health services that they need. The root cause is that we don't have a single payer Medicare for all system. When people have to go into bankruptcy because they can't afford to pay a medical procedure, people lose their homes because they have to decide whether they will live in their car or afford to pay for the medical procedures that they need. There was an awful story of a family who sold this car that's going around, and it was something that was dear to their heart. Sold it because he needed to pay for his wife's chemotherapy, and then years later, the good thing I guess about this story was how the family now of that man bought the car back from someone who was now selling the car to pay for their mother's chemotherapy services. So the root cause is we don't have a single payer for all system. The root cause is that of homelessness is that corporations are not paying their fair share of taxes, so we have to reform Prop 13. The root cause is simply, not simply, but in addition to greed, is just we don't have a single payer for all system. We don't have the resources in place to provide for health services, mental health services, substance abuse services, and so on.
I think the caller asked about housing, but we'll go there in a minute.
Right.
But they're connected, obviously.
Right, they're connected.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very connected.
And if I may just add, another example is that in Oakland, just last year in Oakland, they built 4,000 new luxury market rate housing. Only 324 of those housing was low income, affordable income. That's the problem. We have to build more affordable housing. That's why we have to support Prop 10.
So I think the question was the root cause of housing, and so I'll answer that question. I think the root cause of the housing crisis is that we have not built enough homes. And you look at all the research on this, and a lot of research says that we are about 2 million homes shy, and we have the least number of homes given the population in California than any other state in this country, right? And so that's why I see the cost going up. I strongly believe we need to build more housing, build more transit-oriented housing. I believe we need to build more affordable housing. My opponent has made different decisions on the Richmond City Council. She abstained from a 100% affordable housing development that would have had 155 units. I would have voted for and championed something like that. And so for me, I believe the root cause is we need more housing. We need more affordable. I support more affordable housing, middle income market rate, workforce housing, all of the above. We've got to build more housing. And that means approving projects that actually result in building homes.
Jovanka, did you abstain from
that?
I
would love to talk about that because it's partly true. The truth and the fact of the matter is that I voted for. We now have in the works. We're going to be groundbreaking for 100% affordable housing on McDonnell, one on Nevin, another one on Cutting. So the one that I voted for that we will be that will be breaking ground soon is going to be the 100% affordable housing. I abstained on the developer who had so many issues in different communities of color taking advantage of the community. So I did not want to vote for them, but I did in fact vote for another developer who will be building those affordable housing. And we just cut a ribbon on a beautiful 100% affordable housing in the South Side. It's called the Miraflores Housing Development, where the old Japanese American Rose Gardens were. We just opened 100 units. And every last one of those units accepted Section 8, and this was for seniors. And so I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. We also opened up a couple years ago another 100% affordable housing on Harbor Way for seniors in particular. But the three new developments that are becoming on Cutting Avenue, that will be coming on Nevin Avenue, that will be coming on McDonald Avenue, are all affordable housing, and I'm really proud of that.
Buffy?
Yeah, I mean, I, for me, the root cause is the lack of supply. And so in order to ensure that we are building enough, it means we need to support things like transit-oriented housing. And I think Sacramento can play a role in helping to do that. And those are things that I would want to work on. You know, I've been endorsed by David Chu, who's chair of the Housing Committee, who's been a champion on these issues, who I want to work with hand in glove in Sacramento. We've got to be able to build more housing. I also think we need to do things like incentivizing things like ADU units, right? There's a lot of housing in the East Bay where folks have detached garages. They want to be able to turn those into livable places. They don't have a lot of money lying around to do that because it's very expensive. But if we had things like a public infrastructure bank that would then allow for reasonable rates if you house someone who's low income, there's things like that that I think we can do a win-win-win. But I believe that you know, my opponent has said we don't suffer from a housing shortage crisis. We suffer from an affordability crisis. And to me, when she says that, that means that she believes that we don't actually have a shortage of housing. And I believe that we have a shortage of housing.
Jovanka, do you think we have a shortage of housing?
We have a shortage. The statement, as she said, was that I said is we don't have an a housing shortage. We have an affordability shortage. So I have on my platform, I will be proposing a housing for all program that will build hundreds of thousands of new affordable housing and affordable public housing. And we do that, we get the resources for that by taxing speculation and taxing vacant properties. That's how, and so for it to be fully sufficient and sustainable.
Let me just jump in.
Plenty of vacant property.
I also want to ask about the people who are wake up every morning wondering if they're going to have an eviction notice mm-hmm. on their front door, because the rents are off the charts. I've talked to, you know, people who are on Social Security, $1,000 a month, and at the end of the month, right. they've got $50 left.
Right.
I mean, it's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So Prop 10 right. would repeal Costa-Hawkins, which would allow local governments to implement rent control. Jovanka, you support it?
Absolutely.
Buffy, where do you stand on Prop 10?
I don't support it, and let me tell you why. You know, and first of all, let me say I recognize the value of rent control, and I know that there are families across this, you know, our cities here in the Bay Area who that's the thing separating them between being in a home and having to leave our communities or potentially even be on the streets. But my concern about it, and I've talked to a lot of folks that that work in the affordable housing space that build affordable housing advocates and others, as well as the building trades labor unions and the NAACP, and they are all opposed to Prop 10 because they are worried that while we all agree the rent is too damn high. That's the saying, right? I agree with that sentiment completely, that if this passes, there's potential that it could actually exacerbate our crisis by halting the construction of new homes. And to me, I believe that the root cause of the problem is that we don't have enough homes, right? Now, I strongly believe we need reforms. And, you know, depending on what happens in November with the ballot measure, if it doesn't pass, I will work for those reforms in Sacramento. I think there's a couple things you could do. A rolling date is one idea to exempt new construction, which would thereby, in my opinion, be a little bit more of a appropriate way to deal with this that allows cities to have more rent control but doesn't have that unintended consequence. The other thing that I think we should do is immediately pass some kind of anti-gouging rent control caps at the state level, rent caps at the state level, anti-gouging, so that landlords can't do this raising 20, 30, 40%. That's where I think you see the real detriment of what's happening, right? So to me, that's another way. And if you pass that legislatively, it could go across the board, statewide, instantaneously, very quickly, wouldn't have to go to the ballot.
So why
and there's other ideas, too, I think we can do.
With those ideas, why haven't those been passed already?
Well, you know, my understanding is they were working towards this the anti-gouging idea right up into the moment when the Prop 10 had to be on the ballot, had to be certified, and they weren't able to come to a deal in such a short period of time. But it doesn't mean we can't go back and keep trying, right? As we know, these things take time. We have to go back. We have to push on it. I also think with Gavin as the governor, I mean, I think he's going to want to push for some of these things as well. I don't want to speak on behalf of him, but and other folks as well. So I think we've got to go back to the table at it.
And with Prop 10, just so I'm clear, because this will give cities the control. Mm-hmm. It's not a one size fits all.
Right.
In some cities, they're going to have public input. They're going to have landlord input. So again, why aren't you supporting that? Because some cities could implement what you're just saying.
Because my concern when you talk to affordable housing experts is that this could exacerbate our housing crisis and not be a solution to the actual problem that we have.
Jovanka?
So the Hawes Institute at Cal really respect that, have been doing work for years and years with regard to building homes. Their research proved that Prop 10 will not halt construction, that it will, in fact, help this current dire situation that we're in. The unintended consequence argument is something that people use, developers use, landlords use, the beverage company use all the time. Even now, some of the folks that the pharmaceutical companies that provide healthcare to some people at a profit, also using to kill the dialysis bill that's that will be on the November ballot. They want to kill those things, and that's the word they always use, unintended consequence. When we brought forward the $12 an hour minimum wage, that was the argument they used. They said the unintended consequence is that your grocery bills will increase. The beverage companies talked about your bills are going to increase. You're not going to be able to afford groceries anymore, so you can't vote for a sugary beverage. And it worked. And they used the same thing with the $12 an hour. If you pass a $12 an hour minimum wage, the unintended consequence is that businesses are going to go out of business, they're going to leave Richmond, and we're not going to have any more businesses. The unintended consequence for the dialysis bill that's on the vote is that people, you know, these clinics are going to close down if you vote for this. So they're always using scare tactics to make people want to vote against their best interest, and that's unfortunate. But we know that the research shows that we can and will have more construction. It's not going to, you know, chase people away, and it's not going to reduce the amount of stock that we have for people. Right now, there are about 5,000 vacant properties within the district. 3,000 people are homeless every night. Mm-hmm. When we tax that, we can build the amount of affordable housing that we need.
Buffy, quick response.
Sure. I mean, I just fundamentally disagree. You know, I support evidence-based policymaking. And when you talk to folks like at the Turner Center at UC Berkeley, people like, Cara Galante and others who have run affordable housing, nonprofit organizations, people that build affordable housing, they have a lot of concern about this. And they obviously are someone who wants to ensure that we have more affordable housing. And so for me, I think we can do better policy solutions at the legislature with anti-gouging legislation that will for sure not have the unintended consequence of halting the construction of homes.
And that is Buffy Wicks. She's no on Prop 10, and Jovanka Beckles is yes on Prop 10. It would repeal Costa Hawkins and allow cities to implement rent control. Let's go to Francis. Hi, Francis. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I work in education, and I'm very concerned about the very well-organized movement to privatize education in California through charters, through the destruction of public education, and by attacks on unionized teachers. And I'm super concerned about the amount of money that is pouring in on Buffy's behalf from anti-public education billionaire-funded PACs like EdVoice. They just spent $250,000 on mailers for Buffy just recently. Govern for California has Betsy DeVos cronies on its board. They've spent well over $500,000 on Buffy through their independent expenditures. I know that teachers' unions support Jovanka, and just before we get into this, I want to be real about what these billionaires want. They don't care about children. They care about their tax burden, and they invest in politicians who will reduce their tax burden by gutting public education. And I would like to hear from Buffy why she thinks all these pro-charter groups are supporting her.
Well, thank you for the call and allowing me to speak on this issue, because there's been a lot of misinformation about this. So I'm happy to take the time to respond. First of all, I don't think EdVoice has spent those resources, but if I'm wrong, I'm potentially, but I don't think that that's true. But and Govern for California did have an independent expenditure in the primary on my behalf. This is an organization that advocates on a wide variety of things. You know, they advocated for SB 827. They've advocated for increasing scope of practice for nurses and midwives. They're not a charter school organization. Some of the people that donate to them are charter school people, and some of them are not, you know. So they're not a charter school advocacy organization. But let me talk more specifically about my position on charters, because I think that's what's most important. You know, I am a product of California public schools. You know, I went to California Community College. I went through public school my entire life. That afforded me the ability to become who I am today. I'm a big believer in our public school system. Right now, if you look at California, we are 47th out of 50th in standard of living for children. Our third grade math and reading scores are 43rd in the nation. One in four kids goes hungry every day here, and our per pupil spending is, depending on the survey you read, 41st or 46th. It is unconscionable to me that we have starved our public schools. And again, it goes back to Prop 13, in my opinion. So what I think we need to do is increase funding for our public schools. We have to pay our teachers more. The starting salary in Oakland is $46,000 a year, which is not a lot of money. If you're a teacher, you want to buy a house, start a family, you cannot do it on that salary, right? I strongly believe charters need more accountability and transparency, including subjecting them to the Brown Act, the Public Records Act, the Political Reform Act. I think we have to make it easier to identify poor performing charters and shut them down. I strongly believe that all charters should be unionized. I believe in collective bargaining, you know, and I think that those teachers need to, if they so choose, to be represented by a union. So there's a lot I think that we can do. I think we have to figure out how we're serving the needs of our students. To me, the charters are a symptom of a bigger problem, that we are fundamentally underfunding our public education in this state. And that is the biggest issue, in my opinion. But I do think we need more accountability and transparency around our charters.
And Jovanka, about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, teachers support me, overwhelmingly support me, because they have seen me be a champion for public schools. They've seen me. They know that I will be a champion to fully fund our public school systems, to make sure we get the arts programs, we get music programs back in our schools. We pay our teachers what they deserve. So our public schools are under attack. Teachers and students are under attack. That's why I will move to bring forward a moratorium on charter schools with your support as your servant in Sacramento.
Jovanka Beckles is a community activist, a children's mental health specialist for Contra Costa County, and a Richmond City Council member. She is running as a Democratic Socialist on the Democratic Party ticket for District 15, and that spans from West Contra Costa County to North Alameda County. Jovanka Beckles' campaign has raised $349,840, and she is running... she's got endorsements, from a number of labor organizations, also Democratic Socialists of America, the Harvey Milk LGBTQ Democratic Club. You can find a link to her website at yourcallradio.org. Jovanka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so very much. Pleasure.
Buffy Wicks is also running as a Democrat. She was an organizer for Barack Obama's presidential campaigns. She then served as executive director of the Priorities USA Action Super PAC, which supported Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. Buffy has received endorsements from Barack Obama, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, and Planned Parenthood Northern California Action Fund. Her campaign has raised $1,158,000. And you can find Buffy Wicks' website at yourcallradio.org. Buffy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. This is Your Call's Election Special. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thank you.